from the Let's Roll podcast, powered by CarsRollNationals.com, with my co-host here, Jeff Thisted.
Hey, guys.
And we're here with Dwayne Maddox from Miller Electric. You know, I always say Miller Welding, Miller Electric. You know,
and Dwayne's cat. Don't forget the cat.
Yeah, the cat is...
Max is joining us here.
Max. Yeah. Max it. Welder.
No, he's a cracker. So
now, does he have his own hashtag like Nor the Welder?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Not yet.
No.
Gotta give Dwayne props.
Dwayne's been on a couple times with us. We had the Car Owner Virus podcast, and then we did one with him before a certain television show. So we have to catch up on what happened with that.
Yeah, that's
way behind.
One. Yeah. What was that, two years ago?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was 2 years. Probably 2 years and a month. Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was a great experience, though.
And did I get to see you, was it September?
Yeah, you just ran into him somewhere.
We hooked up at
Muscle Shoals.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I saw you. Did I see you at SEMA?
Yeah. You were going around with...
Cotton.
Cotton, yeah.
Hanging out. We had, no place to go, just going and seeing the sights, seeing everybody.
Yeah,
but I saw you in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, over at the Boss Hog Torque Converters with Nora the Welder and Sarah the Dog and Nelson the Torque Converter Whisperer. Because you had just sent him, is it the Spot Welder?
No, it's
no, not Spot.
It's a what robot.
Because I put on the glasses and you can see it. Explain it to me again.
So a cobot is basically a robot arm, but it's called a cobot because it works with a human. So you literally grab the arm and it's got sensors on the motors and you push it where you want it to go. Instead of having to learn programming language or grab a pendant and program it, you move the arm where you want it to go. You hit a button and say, stop here. You move it to the start of a weld. You hit a button and say, start weld. And you move it to the end and you hit a button that says, stop weld. Wow. And then you've written a program. The software in the background handles everything else. So then it runs and welds. You know, it's very user friendly.
Yeah.
It's.
Go ahead.
Is that going to increase production time for Nelson? Is that what the...
Oh, yeah. Once he gets the basic programming done and they set up their jigs and stuff for it, it should increase it quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'd say over 150%.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, because it was two years ago, or the first time we had you on, we had a plan, and I thought it was... I think we saw you in early 2020. Or somewhere around that is when you came on, because that SEMA was canceled because we had a deal, I made a deal with you that you were going to teach me how to weld at SEMA. And that fell through. It was very sad. So then Nelson kind of took the ball and invited me to come out, and we did some videos out there. And then his how old is Nora? Is she 9 or 10?
I think she's 9 now.
8 or? Okay. Yeah. Nora took it upon herself and taught me how to weld, and it was super cool. I got my... got my Miller Electric gloves from Nora. I still have to get her to sign those.
And
then you came out and we hung out, had some lunch. It was a good day.
Yeah, went to Mama Jean's there in Muscle Shoals.
That was good food. That was really good food. Really good food.
You know, with my job, I travel a lot. So it's easy at the start to get stuck into these fast food joints. And that's so unhealthy. So... over the past 15, 16 years with Miller, I've learned to find those little mom and pop places. Oh, they're good. Got to watch the calories, but it's good food.
Yeah, and that's what gets me. I fall into the trap that I don't travel as much as you, I don't think. But my comfort food, and you can make fun of me all you want. Cotton makes fun of me for this. I like Chili's. I go to Chili's. I get their boneless chicken tenders. They have cold beer, and they have the same food every time. So I'm... it's comfort food. I'm used to it, but I always would rather patron or go to a local establishment. Like I travel Route 66 a lot. Instead of going to Chili's, I will go to a low, like you said, Mama G's. You go to the local joint and you try to support them because they're still out there and
feeding us. One of the most memorable I can think of. There, I was down in Houma, Louisiana. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's all about the oil industry. It's right off the coast.
Okay.
But there was a restaurant there. I was driving down the road, and I see a sign for this restaurant, and it said, Mama Hoodoo's Voodoo and Barbecue. Like, how the hell can you not stop that?
Hit the brakes. Put it in reverse.
Literally, I'd gone past it. I had to turn around and come back. I'm like, I will see what this is. So, yeah, you can't pass up places like that.
Now, do you have the same – because a friend of mine always gets – I used to be so cheap that you got to pay me to wear your T-shirts. Like, I represent Boss Hog, you know, the Torquevers and whatnot. I represent Will Wood. But I usually don't – I used to not buy T-shirts until I was down at Key West. And I got not the Silver Dollar and not the – anyway, I got one of those – Hog's Breath Saloon. I'm down in Key West. I had to get a Hog's Breath Saloon. So do you get the T-shirt too?
No, I didn't. No, okay. I don't think I did then. I don't know if they had them.
No? Okay.
Well, let's see. How's our connection? Okay. Yeah, it looks like our connection is flashing back and forth, but we're good.
Yeah, you're not moving, Mike. I can hear you.
All right.
Got those moves.
I'm still on. Yeah. Well,
so
we
from
can
the
keep
last
going.
Time we, so from the last time we saw you or talked, you had you've been on a an international TV show.
Yeah, I had the great opportunity of being on Monster Garage.
That's awesome. With the, I mean, I'm a big Jesse fan of James. His. No matter, the Pope of Welding. He not only makes super badass, awesome choppers and motorcycles, but he makes guns. And those the knives. Cutlery knives, they're all in my opinion they're all works of art. I think.
Oh, absolutely! He makes his own Damascus steel for even the guns.
Yeah. And so, who does that?
Incredible work ethic on that guy.
Yeah, right. And so you've been to his shop. I know. I follow him on Instagram and whatnot, and I've seen that he just put together a new shop or something like that. But I would love to check out his shop. Just I know
amazing.
Some. Yeah, one of the machines I think he calls Gargantuan or something, but they're World War I or World War II.
It's like a 1930s press. Yeah.
Yes, the mashing press that'll mash you to bits.
When I went to visit, it was still smaller. It was smaller than what he has right now.
Okay.
But I walked through the door of the shop and I just stopped, and I know my jaw dropped, my eyes came open, and Jesse's going on in and he's going to tell me about the shop. And he's like. I guess he noticed I wasn't behind him. He said, "Are you all right?" He's like, "Give me a minute." I was hearing angels singing when I saw their shop. I'm like, "Wow, it was impressive." Yeah,
so
nice.
Are you a fan of his as well?
Yeah, I like Jesse. He does some good work. I think. People say what they will, but you can't judge somebody until you live their shoes. You know, he's always been good to me. And that's all I can go from, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know him at all, but I'm a fan of his work, his work ethic, and all that kind of stuff. So I would love to go out there.
Yeah. I've always thought, how many people his level of fame would take almost a year off and go to another country to learn to blacksmith? He stayed with that master blacksmith for like 10 or 11 months. And this guy... This is one of those guys that doesn't give a shit who you are. He knows his trade. You're there to learn his stuff. So Jesse didn't get any preferential treatment from Ari, and he flat put it to him. He did it and learned it. I mean, who at his level does that? That's hard work. I can tell you, blacksmith is not easy.
Well, there's the old motto is that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So the fact that he even wants to go and learn new tricks is pretty amazing. And then to put... You know, like you said, 10 months to a year into it. That's amazing.
Yeah, he wanted to have a complete, control of the skill. He wanted the metal from the, you know, from the orange start of it to the finish.
Yeah, so what was it? What was it like being on the show? I mean,
it was tough.
We said to Brianna, Well, you talked to Brianna. Yeah. It's like when you got there. So how'd your week go, or however long it took?
Well, so well, when you first
how did you get on the show? Thing.
Yeah, I guess how did you get on too?
Well, I thought about that, and I think Mike, you were with me at SEMA one year. I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, "Damn, I know more of these people than I thought I did." That was my first SEMA, right?
You did say that to
somebody I knew. somebody I knew was on the production team. And they knew my skill set. I had worked with them before on a show called Underwater Empire. So they figured I wouldn't freeze up in front of the camera. And they asked, and I applied, and there you go.
So wait, how do you know Nelson then? You didn't know him from Underwater, because I know Nelson did like 20 years of underwater welding.
No. I know Nelson because he was a customer.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that's how that one started out. I went in to help him with some welding problems.
Okay.
Nice.
But so the guy from the production company, I was one of the first ones he talked to about it. And I also, through him, I also helped get Brianna on the show, Michael Brandt, Terry Wilson got on the show from it, a few of them. So I was kind of trying to get all of us together, but that didn't work out. They split us all up. But so the first day we show up, and it's not a working day. It's there at the hotel. One of the production guys comes in. They talk to you basically about what's going to happen, kind of give you a rundown. You still don't know what you're doing. And you meet the rest of your team. And from the moment we met, I met my team. We all came to a quick decision that we weren't going to have any damn drama. We were going to enjoy it, build the car, make some good TV, and go home. And we did. We bonded pretty well. So then you got to be there. I think the first day started at 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow. That's
and you late. Still can't go into the shop. You know, you're standing in a dark hallway and they're telling you, hey, there's going to be cameras here and I want you all to walk out single file.
And then Jesse can
tell you what you're waiting. Yeah, so we're waiting and waiting and we walk out and they've got everything covered. And he introduces everybody and then he pulls the cover off this 70, I think it was a 74 Corvette. Uncovers these pictures and he said, we're going to make this car run on wood gas. And my first comment was, wood what? I had never heard of it. I didn't know what he was talking about. I had no clue. Two of the guys on the team, the twins, they were our experts. So they basically explained the process of wood gas. And then we jumped in and started making components, right? We kind of split it up by whose skill sets and went at it.
Well, explain to the viewers at home, because Mike and I, we are well-versed on wood gas, right, Mike? So tell the viewers at home about this wood gas, Dwayne.
Well, basically, it's a methane, I believe. You're burning the smoke or the gas that comes off of burning wood. So you have a hopper where you put the wood chips in, the gas comes off of that. It goes through a pipe into a filter.
Like a still, kind of?
It looks
kind of, but not. Okay.
But it's the gas coming off of it. You're not getting the liquid. So it goes through the filter, and after the filter, it goes through a cooler, which is the big, I don't know if you've seen the Corvette, but the big radiator that's on the outside.
Okay.
And then once it goes through that cooler, it goes straight into the throttle body, and you burn it. Okay. No other modification to the engine. You just run it straight into the throttle body.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I think they got the Corvette. They were trying to get 82 miles an hour. I think we got up to 74. You get limited because it's not a super efficient process. You have to burn a lot of wood to get up to that speed.
So wait, that thing is the radiator.
What's that?
Is this the radiator where the glass usually is in the Corvette?
No, it's on the outside. Well, I don't know what you're looking at, Jeff. I can't see yours.
You can't see this?
All I
see
is...
you're not seeing his screen?
No.
Okay, sorry.
He's showing the back of the Corvette.
No, it's on the right-hand side, by the right in front of the... There you go. I see you now.
That thing?
Yeah, that thing right behind the wheel. That's called
the inner radiator.
Wheel. Yes, that's a radiator. Okay.
Huh.
Unbelievable. Okay.
So, because the gas coming off is very hot. It burns better when it's cooled down a little. Okay.
Huh. Interesting.
So, we started out. See, that was Monday. The first couple of days, they don't let you work real late. 6, 7 o'clock, you're out of there. Then after that, it starts getting a little more hairy. You realize how much you've got to do, how little time you have to fart around, which is where most people get in trouble. They believe it or not, they get in that situation and they slack off and do other stuff and play around, and that'll burn you every time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we got ours. I think we finished... Of course, on the show, it showed down to the last minute, but I think we were done a couple hours before.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah. Jesse let me back the car out because we were working hard to get it started, and I finally got it to fire. He's like, "Tate, back it out. Go ahead and move it." So I think it's the first time one of the participants got to drive a monster car. So.
Wow.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Like, and you had said, and I'm throwing myself under the bus. I don't know if you guys watch the show. It's like, I love Jesse James and his shows. I can't get over that big swag. Just shut up. I have to mute him. And if I mute him, then I can't hear Jesse talking or anybody else talking. But I can't watch the show with him doing his thing. It just, yeah, I can't do it.
When we do the show, he's not there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I get along with him. He's a good guy.
I bet he is.
I think Brett, you and Brett would get along if you met him. That's what they want for the show, is that over-the-top, you know, voiceover thing.
Yeah, I can't stand
hype
it.
Hype guy.
Right?
Little hype guy. Jeff's a hype guy. You should get along with him then.
Well, that's why I feel bad for anybody that's got to listen to me, like at the Good Guys Autocross over and over again. It's like, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's like...
Yeah, they do a lot of that after. So when you do the show, you have no idea what it's going to look like. No clue. And I know every one of us are thinking, Jesus, I hope they don't make me look like an asshole.
Oh, yeah. It's all about your ego. 100%. So is it, I mean, I remember Chip Foose overhauling. You build a car in 7 days and surprise somebody. And then all these other shows came out. I think Monster Garage was even before the overhauling. But they kind of gave or overhaul and gave the car industry or car shows like, oh, well, anybody can build a show or build a car in 5 to 7 days. No, not everyone can. Chip's got a cul-de-sac with a paint body interior, all the whole kit and caboodle. And not everyone has that. So it's like, was your experience on Monster Garage? You did it in 5 days.
We did. We weren't building from scratch. But still, later on, I thought about it. And if you look at the skill set, just what we had. So we had 2 master welders, a master mechanic, and 2 experts on wood gas who knew how to weld and fabricate. That skill set, 60-something hours a piece, 70 hours a piece in 5 days, that's a lot. As long as you keep moving and get motivated, you can kick out a car in 5 days, but you couldn't do it back to back.
Yeah.
When that week was over, I was done.
Oh, I bet.
Okay. I was 54 then, and maybe 2 weeks before I had to have a major back surgery.
Right.
So, when that week was up, I was finished. It took a while to recover. Yeah.
And speaking of, you've had a back surgery. Haven't you had like shoulder? Didn't you tear a bicep off? I mean,
we'll need a whole new show if we're going to run through.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah. No, I've had.
I've one of those body pictures with all the injuries, you know.
Yeah,
I've Evel Knievel.
Four major back surgeries.
Oh my
At different times, I've torn both biceps loose, both triceps loose. had the shoulder completely reconstructed. Shit, I've been shot a couple of times. Messed up a knee.
What do you mean you've been shot a couple of times?
I was in the military. So I jumped out of airplanes for a living.
You jumped out of a perfectly good airplane.
Absolutely.
Were you an airborne ranger or are you?
I was. Yeah.
Wow.
So we did a few things that got us in the ship, you know.
Wow. I got goosebumps. Thank you for your service. That's My uncle Art was in Vietnam and he would never talk about anything. And I remember when I was a kid, after he had passed, he was on a motorcycle and some lady ran him down. But I found in his drawer, it had been that big closed, but it was this switchblade. It's like, oh my God. My mom's like, that's not yours. That's going to, Uncle Art was an operator as well.
Thank you for your service, man. A lot of people don't understand that. I don't know if that's what started it, but in the military, usually anybody jumping carried a type of switchblade. And the whole reason for that is if you had to cut or untangle lines and you only had one hand free, okay? That was the whole reason they carried switchblades, was to mess with the parachute lines.
Now, did you have, I know it's a born thing, your work ethic? Because a friend of mine, Aaron, he owns Orange County Hot Rods. I'm going out there next week and we're starting on the 55s, the chassis change. And he was in the military as well, and he worked, I think it was 4 weeks on, and then would have, I think, a week off, or maybe it was four. He worked a bunch of hours out in Afghanistan and then would come home for a week, and it's like, I don't know what to do. Well, can you watch TV and relax? No, I got to work. I wake up and I start working. So his work ethic now is at Orange County Hot Rods. He's up at 4 a.m. Well, nobody's there. Then I can get my stuff done, Jeff. Like, what are you, nuts? Sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, right, I slowed down some as I'm getting older. but yeah, when I first got out of the military, I went to Toyota manufacturing first. And they're known for a high pace manufacturing. They're running. And the first thing my supervisor told me, like, you got to slow down a little bit. I'm like, Bubba, I'm in first gear. I don't think I can slow down from here. But it takes a while to acclimate. A lot of people have a hard time switching over to civilian life. It's a huge difference.
Now, why did he want you to slow down? You still have, I'm guessing, you still have the same quality, but he just didn't want you to get burnt out? Oh, okay.
We had to work as a team. And in your teams, basically, I'd end up sitting there waiting on people, you know. And they were trying to catch up, and it was messing up the flow of the product.
Right.
Wow. So you slowed down a little bit. It's good to have a union gig every so often, right?
Well, no, I've never had a union gig, but...
that wasn't a union?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Toyota didn't. That was in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Okay.
But, yeah, old age has slowed me down a little bit.
Oh, it's my grandfather always told me, don't get old, Jeff. Don't get old.
it's not for the weak.
it is not.
Yeah, well, you know, we can barely get out the table. Or I couldn't barely get out the table at the pepper mill there, you know. Had a little dinner there. Yeah, hard to get out of the booth.
that place is great. But, I love going there each SEMA.
Right?
Yep. It's our place. Oh. Jeff should join us next time.
You really should.
I'd love to.
Call you.
I love that place.
We'll call. We'll get you together.
This place.
And I'm not complaining about it. It is what it is. But I've noticed that the prices – there, granted, you get a plate full of food, but the prices have gone way up, way up. But it's the experience, the little glass beads with the flames coming out of it in the lounge. It's like, I love the lounge. It's a great place.
I think everything's gone up anyway, so.
Yeah.
And our last SEMA, I think I told you about this, Mike, but I was walking past there going back to the hotel room. It's like 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe, or in the evening.
Yeah.
And some guy was passed out under the sign, the Peppermill sign. He's face down, looked like his hands were in the front of his pants. There's a beer can laying next to him. He didn't move. I walked past, went to the room, got my stuff. We were going back to eat somewhere else, so I went back by him again, and it was 30, 40 minutes later. He still hadn't budged. I mean, not an inch. I went and told the cops there. I'm like, you guys might want to check on this guy. He's awfully still right there.
And the cop's like, he's the Peppermill's head of marketing. He lives there under that sign.
Well, and those cops are like, oh, yeah, it happens. I mean, to them, it was just second half. They didn't care. Like, yeah, we get it. Yeah. It happens all
no
the time.
No big deal. Well, I'm sitting there. Is, you know, I'm sitting there at McDonald's because I stopped at McDonald's before I take the walk to SEMA. And it's just after. It's the day after Halloween. I'm sitting there in the morning, bright and early. All of a sudden, Christmas music is playing. I'm like, Christmas music already? Day after Halloween. Wow. I just thought it was pretty funny. And then it got really cold, you know.
We did have to go to Fremont Street on Halloween. That's an experience, okay?
Right.
I won't go into it, but that's something, if you get a chance, you need to do just to, it's kind of like going to the zoo and seeing the animal life, you know?
Right.
It's pretty insane.
Did you get down there, Jeff?
Times Square, but we stayed at the, with Power Auto Media, we stayed at the Plaza, which is the very end of the Fremont experience, and then Cotton and I stayed at the Golden Nugget. Downtown, right across the street.
Well,
so
Plaza,
we could take the bus.
Speaking of food, did you ever go to the Plaza buffet? Me and Ed Golden went there, and that place was awesome.
I haven't been to a buffet since, I think, the Mirage buffet 20 or 30 years ago. It's I kind of got over them a little bit. I forget the name of the, there's a steak joint in the Golden Nugget. You got to go downstairs. And then there's a door that's hidden in plain sight, this red padded door. Open the door, you go downstairs, and it's just like a cave, but super dark, awesome steaks.
Sounds neat.
Yeah. I didn't know about that place. We'll have to check that out.
See, that's back when I was a kid, we'd go to Vegas, and you'd get the 99-cent shrimp cocktail, the free half-pound hot dog at the Lady Luck, and you eat all the buffets. But then it's like Vegas has, and when I was working on The Price is Right, Drew Carey loved Vegas, would fly out every weekend or drive out every weekend. It's like, what the hell? It's gone from 99-cent shrimp cocktails to $300 Kobe steaks. It's now one of the best places to eat in the world with all of this cuisine. So anyways, it's a fun town.
We had a couple of expensive dinners, so I know what you mean.
You weren't paying for them, though, were you?
No.
Okay.
I was trying to be cheap this year. I was trying to be cheap. I didn't do the Caesar's Palace buffet when Ed was there with Maya from Ice Road Truckers. That's where we ate. I'm like, I can't wait to see what this bill's going to be. You know, that was my reaction.
Right?
But that was before COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You can get up there at some of those places.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Super easy.
That was $60, but it's probably more now.
Wait, just for one buffet was $60?
Yeah. That was at Caesar's Palace. But they call it like the biggest buffet in the world. So it was pretty good.
Did you get your money's worth?
I went to the meat aisle. I go to Ed, where's the meat aisle? I'm heading right there.
But I can remember one FabTech with Miller. We took myself and another Miller guy, took four customers out. So we got steak. They all had drinks. We were there a while, so they had a couple of drinks. It ended up, I think it was over $1,200 a person at this place.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. This old Georgia boy used to that. That just... Yeah,
I wouldn't do that. I'd have to leave. I'd have to see you guys later.
But see, you remember it. I don't know if it was the food delicious as well.
It was good food. Yeah.
But not $1,200.
Yeah, $1,200. To me, that's ridiculous. I've had good steak at, you know, at Cracker Barrel. $1,200. That's hard for me to justify in my mind.
I agree, because, and Mike knows it well. It's like, I don't spend any money except unless it's on my car. Yeah. Like, that's $1,200. I can spend it on my car. What am I doing? Yeah.
But, hey, the customers enjoyed it. It was good food. So. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we can transition from Fremont Street, who we were with one of the guys that you hang out with and you're working with a little bit, Brian Bassone.
SpeedTube
TV. And I know you're looking for a name of a TV show. So you're going to have to tell us a little bit, if you can, what's going on.
Well, so Brian approached me about a show, and I have wanted to do one for a long time. Kind of to do something more with the trades. Two things, really. One, to show some of the trades, how we make things here in America. And then another one to show some of these smaller car speed shops that, you know, you go on Instagram and they've got 100 followers. But when you go to their shop, it's incredible the stuff they're doing, you know, and people just don't know about it. For example, one of the largest rebuilders of International Scouts is just a couple hours down the road from me. You know, I never think of International Scouts. But I do remember my grandfather had one that he just drove around the farm, you know.
He didn't have one. He had two or three. Because if you have one, you have to have two or three to keep the parts for the other, because they keep on.
That's it. And I remember distinctly, I was little, I remember the handle for cranking the window up and down was a vice grip. Okay. But so I go out to meet these guys, and the scouts they have are incredible. Oh, it is a whole different level. And the price on these things has gone up. They told me if you can find one that will run and drive for $10,000, buy it. That's if it's basket case.
Wow.
These that they have rebuilt are just amazing. So we're going to do one episode with them, show what they do, take the scouts out, run them around a little bit.
And when they complete these scouts, are they now brand new, fully restored, everything's painted, or are they kind of like the Icon derelict, where you've got a new chassis and engine and running gear, but the body kind of stays a little patinaed, maybe, or not?
It depends on the customer.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Some of them are full frame off restos, and some of them are the resto mods like you're talking about.
Okay, very good.
Another shop we're going to be.
Are you going to be the host or
yes,
hosting the show? Okay. Cool.
We've already got a couple of sponsors. The guys at Chattanooga Beard Company are going to sponsor us.
Imagine that.
So I just might be a little early, but I'm in talks now to have my own brand of beard balm. Okay. So I feel like I've reached the pinnacle of success with that.
I bet. Now, what kind of beard balm are you using now, Dwayne?
Iron Demon Forge, right?
That's it, really?
Yeah, it will be. It's right now, it's from Chattanooga Beard Company.
Okay.
But they're
going to come out, or you're going to talk with them for an Iron Demon Forge beard balm?
Yes.
That's badass.
I'll send you some, Jeff. We'll help that grow a little bit.
Yeah. Right. So
I need all the help I can get.
If we grow ours out, Jeff, he could bring us in.
Exactly. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Another episode I'm looking forward to doing, we've kind of lined out. There's a shop in Southern Ohio that modifies semi-trucks for racing.
Oh,
wow.
And these guys, I'm talking to these guys, they're like, look, you come out to the shop, work with us a little bit. We'll show you what all we have to do to make a truck ready for that. And then we'll have a race, and you and the camera guy can get in the truck and ride with us. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. How could you not do that? So they race full-size semi-trucks.
Just like Smokey and the Bandit 2. Remember that?
Yeah. Why is this not a major thing? I don't understand. That sounds so cool to me. So I'm going to get a little notoriety for these people.
Just a little. So do you have your Class A? Can you drive a big rig?
I cannot.
Okay, no. I don't know. I don't have the license, but a few of my friends have showed me a little bit. But I think you need to, instead of just driving and camera guy operating, I think you need to get behind the wheel, my friend.
That would be hard for me to do. I'd try it, though. I'll drive anything.
Heck yeah, give it a try. Okay, good. That's what I say. I'll drive anything that's got wheels and an engine. Doesn't even need wheels.
Yeah. Eventually, I can get it to go. But on top of that, I also want to go through, there's a lot of amazing manufacturers around that people just don't see anymore, you know? Most of your people don't get to make a living with cars. Some of them are, say, building garbage trucks. Incredible process. It sounds silly, but what goes into that truck from start to finish is just amazing. And I want people to see that. I want them to see people that, you know, make a living welding, that make a living running CNC machines. Try and show people that there are places out there you can work that do take care of their people, you know, and show how we build stuff in America, because I still think we're the best in the world.
I do too. And that, now you're getting into, do you watch TV at all?
Very little.
Very little. You know, Mike Rowe and Dirty Jobs, right?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that show. Yeah.
Okay. Because he's, I don't know if it's a new season, but he, to me, is just, he's amazing and has no fear of getting dirty and filthy and jumping into wherever he needs to go and do whatever. And that, to me, it sounds like sort of you're going to these small shops. And like you said, well, building a garbage truck sounds silly. We got to get our garbage taken out. Otherwise, we're going to leave it in the streets and become Rome. That's and it'd be right. Horrible. So it's fascinating to me watching those shows.
Oh, me too. And, you know, with my job, I've told people for years and years, it's kind of like having your own House It Made show. Because when I go in to help somebody, the first thing they do is, well, let me show you how we do this, what we're doing. You know, so I've seen how fire extinguishers are made, rocket engines, trailer trucks.
Two things that hopefully don't go together, fire extinguishers and rocket engines.
No. But it's always been the biggest benefit of my job. And if I can share some of that, I think other people enjoy seeing it too.
Oh, 100%.
You get to meet these people with your job. So you kind of know some of these shops that do amazing things too.
I do.
That makes sense.
People like Nelson, you know.
Right.
He's part of the family now, but you start out as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a lot of those. There are people like at Kubota where they manufacture tractors and lawnmowers. I've known some of these guys for 16 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I've been through their kids being born, them going through divorce, you know. I've known them longer than a lot of people, so you form a good relationship with them if you do your job right.
And like you said, not everybody can work with cars, and my example is at SEMA. I walked into SEMA years ago, and it's like, I've seen that car and that car and that car and that car, but I haven't seen Mike, and I haven't seen Dwayne. It's like, it's all about, the cars are cool, and they bring us together, but it's all about the car family that I brought together throughout these years that I get to see. So that's what is special to me. And like you saying, getting to make your customers into part of your car family, that's pretty special.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, myself, I really didn't start getting into the car industry probably until about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, really. 2019 was my first SEMA.
That's what you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
so you're not a car guy.
Well,
no,
I guess I wasn't. No,
you're starting to get cars or trucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah.
My personal life was in such a turmoil before then. I didn't have energy or time. I was dealing with an ex-wife, and you know, thank God, the lady I'm married to now, she's helped me to do a lot of these things and give me the space to, you know, make friends in the industry, to do things like this. It's incredible and supported me through all of it. So
that's awesome.
That's
probably the reason I do all this. You know,
well,
I'm a lot nicer since she's around.
Now that you met all those car people, it also gives you a little drive to do stuff too. I feel
exactly
like meeting all you guys you know, makes me want to do more things too. So.
Yeah, I mean, they motivated me to go on and get my S10. I got that through Tori helped me get it. Tori DiBiase.
He did.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice. A friend of his that I bought it from over in Rhode Island.
And wait, and where are you? You're not Tennessee, are you?
I'm in Georgia.
You're in Georgia. Okay, same thing, right?
Yeah,
Georgia, Tennessee. Yeah. It's all.
Yeah, don't say that to the football fans. Woo.
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah.
They will track you down.
Yeah, there was some game that my pop was watching. I forget when it was, and it's some sort of big game, and I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
The football silliness, I think it is. Bunch of big sweaty guys in tight pants chasing an oblong ball up and down the field.
I like it. I think we lost Wayne though.
Oh no.
We'll see. It's been a weird connection day. We were having seemed like connection issues throughout the whole thing, but we'll see if he comes back.
Well, that's the first time I saw any connection issue on my end.
On my end, I'm flashing and like, oh boy.
Oh no.
So I was going to ask you, but we'll maybe wait for Dwayne to come back on, if he can get back on. Let's hope so.
Oh, are we still, okay, we're still recording.
Yeah, yes we are.
You can edit this part out though, right?
I'd have to stop it, maybe I could do it that way.
Oh, you don't have to, no, I'll tell you, I just got an email from someone at Whipple Superchargers.
That's awesome. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see. I have to put together.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, I was going to, Dwayne on or not, I was going to say, now he totally lost his window.
Yeah, maybe he'll call back.
Maybe I'll try to get back on. I was going to ask you, did you ever meet Ken Block or did you know him at all? I have never met him. Unfortunately, he passed away yesterday in a snowmobile accident.
We got back from the Mexican joint. We go on Mondays over to the Mexican place. I got back and open up Instagram, and there's a Larry Chen thing. Ken Block was, and I'm like, what? What? What do you mean was? What do you mean was? And it's like, and then I looked on things 17 minutes ago. It was on TMZ. Then I got goosebumps. I met him a few times, and
it's just a big loss. But I just recorded. I went to the SEMA, and Pop
knows who he is because of that, the Pike's Peak thing. And Larry Chen has got that, the picture of him shooting the dirt gravel out into Kansas. It's like, it's the Gymkhana. Come on. So the world is a darker place today, in my opinion.
Yeah. I went to the breakfast, the SEMA breakfast, just because he was going to be one of the speakers, and I recorded that, and hopefully people watch the video just to see, talk about his career and stuff a little bit, stuff that he's been doing, and even the electric car, which people go, ooh, electric, but that car, he'll tell you in that video that he burned through more tires, more than twice
as many tires in the electric thing.
Over 100 miles per hour, the speedometer would be reading. He'd be doing smoke of the tires, So crazy stories that he was saying. But it's a big loss. My son texted me last night. I was like, what?
He did.
One of those things you don't believe. One of those things you don't believe, and then you see it, And kind of like Paul Walker deal. When that happened, I was like, what? So another icon. Gone. Yeah. So
it's like I think it was the second or third time I went to Shamrock, Texas at the U drop in that the Tower Conoco station. And I asked the lady after I'd seen I think it was Gymkhana 10. After I saw that, I asked the lady, okay,
are you back?
Hey, there
we're here. Gotcha. We lost you. We were just talking about Ken Block because, the loss.
I had to shut off and restart, but that's terrible. It was a snowmobile accident. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I read. I read the police report. He was going up a steep slope, and the snowmobile, fell back onto him. So, he wasn't with any of his buddies. They were riding together, but at that moment, he was separated from them. So, none of them probably saw it happen. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
At least he was doing what he loved to do. I mean, that's what he does.
For sure.
So
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's
you can get by a bus crossing the street, so at least he's doing, he's living life instead of talking about it or not. So, that's my own.
But see, as a Southern guy, this reinforces, if it's that damn cold, you don't need to be there.
Well, you know, we're only we might get 12 inches of snow today. I'm pretty excited about that.
That's way too many.
Yeah.
Somebody,
we're just getting done with it.
Somebody offered me a job once in upstate New York, and it was very lucrative. And he started out, the recruiter started out telling me about all the winter sports, and I'm like, stop right there. You just killed it. He's like, what do you mean? I don't want to be anywhere where the main focus is winter sports. That's not me. He started going back to the pay. I'm like, no, it's not about money. I'm not doing that shit. Oh, God, well, it gets so cold up in Wisconsin even when I have to go to Miller in the winter.
Now, they say it's cold there, but when, you know, you get 60 below wind chill here, stop on by and let me know what
it's
you think.
It's insane. When, not long after I started working for Miller, I had to go up and do some training, and I guess they thought it was funny to bring the Southern guy up in January. So we're doing this training outside on engine drive welders, and I've got an extra jacket, shirt on, everything I could bring with me I have on. At the time, I was living in Florida, and I'm standing outside, and I am just, it's like 10 below, 12 below, and I'm literally just shivering, my teeth chattering, and the guy doing the instruction looks at me and he goes, you didn't wear your flannel jeans today? And I looked at him. I said, a better question is, what the hell are flannel jeans? He pulls up the inside of his jeans and they're lined with flannel. I said, well, that would have been a nice thing to know from Florida. So now I have a pair of flannel jeans that hang in my closet and I only wear them up at Miller.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's
my girlfriend just got me a pair, and you know, they don't fit. So.
Oh, no way.
Exercise plan got to kick in because I'm getting worse.
She's giving you a hint, right?
Yeah. Well, I told her I think we just need to start looking at exercise equipment or something. Because man,
that's another thing with age, man. It gets harder to keep that off.
Yeah, for sure.
So. Yeah, that metabolism starts to slow down. It gets tough.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, the only carbs I care about are under the hood of my car.
There you go.
Hey, well, yeah, I'm surprised, Jeff, you're not my size. All these places he goes out to eat.
Oh, I love to eat. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So where are you off to next, Dwayne?
Well, that's basically it. So I've got to meet with Brian and those guys. We're going to make the final decision on the show's name and kind of list out all our different episodes. And get
if any of you guys out there could come up with a cool name for a show, text and email Mike over at carshownationals.com and you can win a dream date with Dwayne, maybe.
No, he's giving away something.
Giving away a Miller Infinity helmet. It's one of the limited editions that Dave Kindig designed. So not many of them out there.
That's right.
That gets delivered to me on the 6th. So whoever we pick that names the show, I'll send that to them.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, you posted that on Instagram. That's right.
I did. Yeah.
Very cool.
I shared
now,
it all
where
over
will the
place.
Show, is this going to be Amazon, Netflix, YouTube, Discovery, Motor Trend, or?
We're just starting out on YouTube. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Let's see what viewership we can get, how much, you know, notice we can get out there. If we get more stuff going, who knows? Right.
Cool.
Good answer. Now, are you Iron Demon Forge on YouTube?
Yes. No, on Instagram.
Instagram, you're Iron Demon Forge.
We're going to be on the Speed Channel on YouTube.
Okay.
The Speed Tube, right? Speed Tube, is that what it's officially called, right?
Yeah.
On YouTube. So make sure you check it out. There's a bunch of old shows on there, right, Dwayne?
They are. All the Pinks Live and Pinks All Out is on there. A few others are on. And if they want to connect with me, it's Iron Demon Forge on Instagram, just one word, or Dwayne Maddox on Facebook.
And they're adding shows. They're looking for creators for Speed 2 also. So make sure.
Dwayne Maddox on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you're in the automotive industry and you got something cool going on, you know, now is reach out to any of us and we'll hook you up with Brian.
Yeah. Anyone listening, if you got a cool idea for an episode, if you have a speed shop that you're doing something unique, contact Jeff, Mike, me. We'll try and get you on my show. All right.
Veteran engineer for Miller Electric and Iron Addict. Monster Garage alumni. Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, that's right. YouTube.com, SpeedTube TV. Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, so you got a link in that. Go to his Instagram. He's got a link to the YouTube and the Instagram. There you go. Yeah, I just got over 1,000 subscribers on. It was either New Year's Eve Day or New Year's Day. So, yeah, now I got to get to work on videos.
Yeah.
Right.
This is my foray into YouTube, so should be neat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully this is where you can like see this video. You can see this on our Let's Roll podcast on YouTube, and we got a Facebook page for it, and you can listen to it on a bunch of different platforms, including Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. I have iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So
nice
spreading out. Hopefully, we get more people coming and listening.
Yeah. So. Good deal.
Outstanding. That's military right there.
Outstanding.
Good job. See, I left out the modifier in the middle, right?
Oh, I'm trying to make it
family
friendly. This is a family show, exactly.
Yeah.
Tori says that a lot as well. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Right.
You can always pick up. Well, very good. Thanks for coming back with us, Dwayne.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
I was excited to talk to you again. Yeah.
Same here. We'll have to, we get the show going and kicked off, get a few episodes under our belt, and maybe we come back and talk again.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Let us know what it's called, when it's going to air. And, yeah.
All right. We'll do. Yeah, absolutely. Right. We got to get Brian on.
Yeah.
He loves talking on these.
We know. All right. Oh,
see, that's perfect. Well, yeah. Get you and Brian come back on. That'd be fantastic.
Outstanding. Yeah, we can do that.
Check him out on Facebook, Dwayne Maddox. Check him out on Instagram, Iron Demon Forge, and on YouTube, SpeedTube TV. Dwayne Maddox, the one, the only.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.